And now, When Radio Was. Brought to you by Radiospirits.com.
I'm Greg Bell, and we open with some comedy. And later we'll make our weekly visit with the adventures of Superman. It's time to launch another multi-part adventure, known as the Secret Rocket. It finds Superman in a wee bit of trouble. First, though, let's head to Wistful Vista for the comedy of Fibber and Molly McGee. This hit series launched in Chicago in 1935, a few years later relocated to Los Angeles, and continued to air often at or near the top of the ratings well into the 1950s. This off-rate is from shortly after the end of the Second World War. Known as Fudge, it was actually broadcast while the show was visiting New York City. It originally aired on November 6th of 1945.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson Wax products for home and industry present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn and Phil Leslie, with music by the Kingsmen and Billy Mills Orchestra. Kramer's Drugstore in Wistful Vista is noted for two things: its wonderful chocolate fudge and the fact that it usually hasn't got any. But today, the sale is on, and here, just home with a bag, big bag full of the confection, we find Molly of Fibber McGee and Molly.
McGee, you know what I got at Kramer's Drugstore?
Don't tell me you bought some of that quick-drying fountain pen ink of Kramer's. That stuff is terrible.
Why is it?
I had some of that on my last trip to Peoria.
You did, huh?
You know how you always shake your pen at a hotel wall to see if the ink is flowing right?
Yeah.
Well, that stuff dries before it hits the wall. Rattles against the wallpaper like you were throwing buckshot.
Well, that's too bad. But that isn't what I started to tell you. Kramer's were having a special
sale. That outfit's always having a special sale. They think a one-cent sale means giving you 4 pennies for a nickel.
Yeah, but this was a...
Kramer's idea of a bargain is giving you two of something you don't want with something you gotta have for half again what you'd have to pay if you went someplace you'd rather go to if it wasn't raining.
Now, look, dearie, will you stop interrupting me a minute?
Huh?
Telling you something is like trying to lie on your back and play badminton with hailstones.
I'm sorry, Molly. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead and talk.
Thank you. I was just going to say that I bought...
I hate it. It's a guy that won't let the other guy talk.
I know that. That's why
it's a form of egotism. That's what it is. Thinks what he has to say is so much more important than what the other guy is saying. He just can't keep his big fat mouth shut.
Exactly. Now then, when I was down at Kramer's Drugstore... For goodness sakes, McGee, will you please let me talk?
Why, that wasn't me, Mommy. That was the doorbell.
What? Oh, pardon me. Come in.
Mrs. McGee?
Yes?
I'm your new neighbor next door. If we should go away for a few days, would you take care of our boxer?
Oh, you betcha, sis. I'm very fond of dogs.
Oh, this isn't a dog. Huh? It's our cousin, Punchy McClatchy. Thank you very much.
My goodness, did you ever hear of Punchy McClatchy, McGee?
Sure, sure. 6 feet of fighting scar tissue who couldn't batter his way out of a hairnet. Known in prize fight circles as the Waltz King. Gone into more dives than an MP in Paris. And made a will leaving his jaw to the Libby Owens Glass Company. But tell me, kiddo, what were you saying about Kramer's? You got me interested.
Well, this morning I had a terrific desire for some good chocolate fudge, so
fudge? Well, why didn't you say so? Don't give it another thought, Snooky. I'll whip you up a batch of fudge. The old-fashioned kind.
Oh, please, McGee, you don't have to make me any fudge because
your wish is my command, madame. You says you were hungry for fudge, so you get fudge. Now then, what do I need to make fudge? Cocoa? Eggs? Eggs? No, don't need eggs. Now hand me the phone. I got to call the grocery.
Here, but now listen.
Thanks. Hello, operator. Give me Jimmy Sales Grocery and Meat. Mark my words, it's her.
Who?
Mert. How's every little thing, Mert? this. What's that, Mert? Your married sister. In an interesting condition, eh?
Ah, isn't that nice?
No. She was studying ballet and got her foot caught behind her neck. What's that, Mert? Yeah, the grocery store. Thanks. Hello, Sales Grocery. Pippin McGee speaking. I just called to order some eggs, but I happen to think you don't need eggs to make fudge, so forget the whole thing. Well, here we go, laughing and scratching. Come on out in the kitchen, baby.
McGee, for the last time...
But it probably won't be the last time, Tootsie. When you fling a fang into this fudge I'm going to make, you'll realize why the chief of the Waldorf is a man.
That's pronounced chef, dearie.
It is? Well, when I was in the Army, I cooked a mess of baked beans for the commander in chef.
That's chief.
I cooked a mess of beans for the commander-in-chief that were so wonderful, he wanted to know the name of the chief that cooked them.
Chef.
The chef that cooked them. So I tells the commander-in-chef, I says...
Chief.
Where's the saucepan? Ah, here we are.
Those are frying pans, McGee.
So what? Didn't you ever eat any fried fudge? Frying brings out all the delicate... Hey. What are we keeping this thing for?
That's a colander.
Well, it's full of holes. I only want the best equipment in any kitchen of mine. Throw that thing out the window.
Certainly.
Thanks. Now then, a double boiler.
Why a double boiler?
I always boil my fudge twice.
Oh.
Now, let me see. Salt, pepper...
Billy Mills of the orchestra, and it's gotta be this or that.
Is this fudge gonna be good? Look at that rich brown color.
Yep, like the back of an old boxing glove.
Boy, get a load of that smooth, creamy consistency. This stuff is gonna turn out to be pure velvet.
Yes, one bite and you have a long nap.
If it turns out as good as I expect, I might put it on the market. Fibber's Fine Fudge.
Oh, my.
I can just see the billboards. Feeling foul, folks? Why fret, fume, or fuss? Feed your face with a fistful of Fibber's Fine Fudge.
If feeling low with work and drudgery, drop in on Fibber's Fancy Fudgery.
Ah, that's great, Molly, great. I'll make the name of Fibber McGee anonymous with fine candy every place.
You mean synonymous, dearie.
Hmm?
It starts with a sin, and if you think I'm whistling Dixie, you're tone deaf.
I'll have my fudge in every drugstore in the United States. Bye, George. Come in.
Oh, it's Mayor LaTrivia. Out here in the kitchen, Your Honor.
Hello, Molly. Hello, McGee.
Hi, LaTrivia. Have a chair and watch a master confectioner confect a confection.
What witch's brew are you concocting there, McGee? If you're working on synthetic rubber, don't go any further. A set of tires that smelled like that would set the automotive industry back 75 years.
He's making fudge, Your Honor.
Oh, fudge.
What was that last crack, LaTrivia?
I merely said, oh, fudge, indicating that I had, with my usual perspicacity, grasped the situation.
May
I make a suggestion?
Certainly, Mr. Mayor.
Well, every time I drop in for a friendly chat, we seem to conclude with some unseemly conversational brawl. Now, let us for once not get into an argument.
Oh, it's okay with me, LaTrev. I'm a peaceful citizen. I can get along with anybody.
Well, now, isn't that nice? Yeah.
Ah, splendid. People who go around with chips on their shoulders...
Just leave my father out of this, LaTrivia, that's all.
Your father? What did I say about
his father was a carpenter, Mr. Mayor.
And just because an honest cabinet maker has a few chips on his shoulder doesn't give you...
Oh, I was speaking in a rhetorical sense, McGee. I certainly did not mean actual chips.
My father used phony chips? Now, just a darn minute, LaTrivia. There's no more honest people in the world than carpenters, and
I didn't say a word about carpenters. You brought that up.
No, he brought McGee up.
I mean, an honest chipender, a carping honester. When a man has a chip on his father...
Stop shouting at my wife, LaTrivia.
I was not shouting! I was not shouting at your wife.
Well, who were you shouting at, Mr. Mayor?
At your husband.
Speak up, LaTrivia, speak up. If you got anything to say, out with it. Quit mumbling.
I was only trying to... When I attempted... I was hoping that for once we... McGee, don't you like me?
Why, of course he likes you, Mr. Mayor.
You're a fine chap, LaTrivia. Inclined to fly off the handle now and then, like a cheap hatchet. But a fine chap for all of that.
Thank you. Then, before I leave, may I tell you something I've never said to anyone else?
Why, of course, Your Honor.
What is it, old man?
Simply this, McGee. You have dripped that horrible mess of fudge all over the front of your shirt and pants. And on you, it looks good.
Do you suppose he doesn't like carpenters?
Just a frustration, I'd say. Probably wanted to be a carpenter himself and couldn't.
Yeah.
Because he always puts the wrong construction on everything.
Yeah, that may be.
Yeah.
Oh, McGee, you've spilt that stuff all over the floor.
Ah, so what? I got plenty left. I made a double recipe.
Hey,
so
everybody home?
Out here in the kitchen, Mr. Wilcox.
Oh, hi, Junior.
Hello, pal. Hello, Molly.
Hello, Mr. Wilcox. Do you like fudge?
Is that what he's making there?
Yes.
No.
Am I to misconstrue that as a reflection on my cooking, Junior?
If the shoe fits, pal, you can walk for miles without finding an argument. Gee, I wish you had a copy of my cookbook.
Your cookbook?
I never knew you were interested in cooking, Mr. Wilcox. Family recipes, aren't they?
No, I just stole them here and there. You know the old saying, if you steal from one author, it's plagiarism. Mm. But if you steal from everybody, it's research. Well, mine's research.
Now, looky here, Junior, looky here. I know you, and I know you ain't doing this strictly for the benefit of frazzled females. You got a gimmick in there someplace.
And then, hey, what time is it?
6 to 10.
Oh, gee, I gotta go. I'll see you later, folks.
Hey, don't you want to wait and have some fudge?
No, thanks.
I always thought you had quite a sweet tooth, Mr. Wilcox.
Well, I have, but my sweet tooth takes advice from my wisdom tooth. So long now.
Imagine Mr. Wilcox an author.
Ah, patah. All it takes to be an author these days is an idle summer and a publisher with too big an income tax.
Well, passing up that fertile subject for the time being, dearie. Move aside while I wipe up that spilt fudge.
Okay, I gotta beat this panful a little more anyway. You know, this baking soda don't mix in very good.
Baking soda? Did you put baking soda in that fudge?
Why, certainly. It makes it light and fluffy. It's the vinegar that gives it that sharp, tangy smell.
Vinegar? Oh, now, McGee, after all, you don't put everything into making fudge.
I didn't put everything into it. Look at all the stuff on the shelf there I didn't use. Celery salt, onion flakes, horseradish. Hey, horseradish, with a dash of horseradish.
No. Don't stir it so hard, dear. You keep spilling it.
Okay. I'll beat it out on the back porch and whip it. I'll be back in a minute. Oh, I bought a little goat and his name was Jack, but he got so homesick I had to give him back.
Oh. Hi, mister.
Oh, hi, Teeny. Now, don't get too close to me now. I might splash some of this on you. And it's hot stuff in more ways than one.
Gee, what you making, mister? What you making? Watch out.
Fudge, sis. And if you keep quiet like a good kid, I'll let you help me lick the pan.
Oh, boy. Gee, thanks, mister. I love fudge.
You do, eh?
Hmm?
I says you do, eh?
Do what?
Love fudge.
I know it.
Take a gander at that, sis. Beautiful, eh? Bet you never saw any fudge that color before.
I bet you I never saw anything that color before, baby.
Well, making good fudge is a fine art, sis.
Mm-hmm.
I ever tell you why they call it fudge?
Oh, no.
Well, sir, hundreds of years ago, even before one man's family was on the air, a family of little elves lived in a great big forest.
Mm-hmm.
You know what an elf is, sis?
Sure I do, I bet you. My daddy is an elf. He goes down to the elf's club every day.
No, I didn't say elk. I said elf. Brownies, gnomes, leprechauns, pixies. Elves. I mean, elves.
Okay.
Well, sir, one day the chief of the elves, a little fellow named Eggduff, was out for a beetleback ride, and he fell off his beetle and got lost.
Oh.
And he wandered around getting hungrier and hungrier till he come to a place where some human beings had been having a picnic.
Oh, how'd he know human beings had been there, mister? How did he?
Well, because the grass was all torn up and the trees had initials carved all over them, and there was tin cans laying all around and dirty newspapers and broken glass and all stuff like that there.
Oh?
Nobody makes a mess like that except human beings. Well, sir, little Egg Duff climbs around looking for something to eat, and he finds a little crumb of brown candy. And he eats it. It's delicious. And he eats some more.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets so much strength and energy, he walks right straight home again without any trouble.
Oh, gee, goody.
Uh-huh. And he tells all the other little elves all about the wonderful stuff he'd found, and they all wanted some. So being a bright little elf, little Egg Duff got a bee, got him to bring him some honey, and he milked a few milkweed plants to get some milk and made a batch of the finest fudge you ever saw.
Oh, where'd they get the chocolate, mister?
Well, they got off of the beetle's cocoa. They got it all right. Anyway, all the little elves were so happy about it and so grateful to Egg Duff, and got to like fudge so much. You know what they did?
Sure.
Huh?
They call it fudge on account of that's Egg Duff spelt backwards.
What?
Well, I gotta go now. So long, mister.
One of all the little point killers I ever heard. I still think that's good.
Fibber and Molly will return shortly after we take a short break. Stay tuned. And now back to Fibber, McGee, and Molly on When Radio Was.
And his name was Keith. Snuggle up to people, then kick him in the teeth. Oh,
heavenly days, McGee. Haven't you finished making that fudge yet?
No, oh, not quite. I had to boil it over again.
Why?
I couldn't taste the mint sauce.
Mint sauce? McGee, this is going to be the most horrible...
Now. Take it easy, Mommy. Take it easy. Hand me the vanilla, will you? Please?
Certainly, sir. Here you are.
Thank you.
Oh,
yeah. That ought to do it.
It really should. I haven't smelled so much vanilla since I walked past the stag line at our high school graduation dance. Ah, McGee, for goodness sakes, you can't...
Come in.
Who is it?
Dr. Gamble, Molly. Where are you?
Oh, we're out in the kitchen, Doc. Come on out.
Well, this is a happy little domestic scene. You look cute in that apron, McGee.
The only difference between you and Ann Sheridan is that you look like Bull Montana.
He's making a batch of fudge, Doctor.
Oh? Geez, smells swell. Let me stir it a while, McGee.
Okay, kid, come on. You stir 5 minutes and I'll stir five
oh,
minutes.
Oh, for goodness. Here, Doctor, here's an apron for you, too. The Ptolemaine sisters at work.
You interested in cooking, Doc?
Love it. Did you ever eat any of my guinea hen, Maryland, with sauce gamble?
No. Never been in Maryland, Doc.
Oh.
I got a great little recipe for barbecued meatballs with wild rice. You see, you get yourself a pig.
Yeah, but wait till you try my spinach ring.
Hmm?
And my salami cacciatore. Brother, you haven't lived till you've tasted that. Now, look, first you take some dry sherry.
No. I never use dry sherry, Doc.
No?
Always wet sherry. The dry sherry
now,
never...
Now, look, boys, am I in the way here? I can just as well go out on the porch and smoke a cigar.
No. Stick around, Molly. We'll just... Say, isn't this fudge about done, McGee? Look, it's getting hard.
Well, drop a drop of it into this glass of cold water, Doc. If it forms a little bead, it's ready to cool.
Okay.
Ah, very interesting. Sank like a mother's heart at Willie's first haircut.
It's done, Doc. It's done. Here, I'll put it out in this pan.
Boy, that really looks marvelous, McGee. That's the only green and purple fudge I ever saw.
Much obliged for helping me, Doc. You can have the first taste of it when it gets cool.
Oh, no. It's your recipe. You're entitled to the first bite.
Oh, no. You're the guest. You first.
Oh, well, let's compromise. We'll let Molly have the first
taste. No, you don't. No.
Why, Molly, I made this just for you. Gee whiz, after all the trouble I went to because you were hungry for some good homemade fudge, my gosh.
All right. Now get out of my kitchen, both of you. I'll let you know when it's cool. I've got to clean up in here. I haven't seen so many dirty pans since the Elks put on their last minstrel show.
Well, okay, Molly. Say, come on, McGee. I want to tell you about my venison fricassee.
Yeah, and I want to give you my recipe for pineapple upside-down muffins, Doc.
Oh, yeah.
First, you take a pineapple, uh-huh. Then you turn it upside down.
Ah, dear. There goes a good kid. Two good kids, in fact. Too good to be on the receiving end of what I have in mind when I look around this wreck of a kitchen. But now to dump out this murder mixture. And put the fudge I bought at Kramer's on a plate. There we are. And three lives saved. All right, boys, the fudge is cool. Come and get it. Come on. Ah, the patter of little feet.
Well, didn't take long to cool off, did it?
Why, certainly not. I had sense enough to drop a couple of ice cubes in it the last time I boiled it. Hey, this looks wonderful, Molly. Sure changes color when it gets cool, don't it?
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Ah, that's as fine a looking platter of goodies as I ever surveyed with these astigmatic old orbs. McGee, you're wonderful.
I told you it'd be okay when it got cool.
Mm-hmm.
Have a piece, Doc.
Thanks. Molly?
Thank you.
My gosh, it's delicious.
Yeah, it's the best fudge I ever ate.
It's simply grand, McGee.
Well, I'm glad you like it, folks. Make you some anytime you like. That's a wonderful recipe I made up, if I do say so myself. And you know the most miraculous thing about it?
No.
What?
When it cools off, it's even got nuts in it. Molly, is that fudge all gone?
Well, I'm just finishing the last piece, dearie.
Okay. By the way, you started to tell me about something you got at Kramer's drugstore. What was that?
Well, now let me think. I had it on the tip of my tongue just a minute ago.
Never mind. Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax Products for Home and Industry, inviting you to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night.
Broadcast from New York City back on November 6th of 1945. The previous week, Fibber McGee and Molly had originated out of Toronto, Canada. The first time the show had been broadcast out of the United States. They had performed live at the Maple Leaf Gardens Arena, a benefit for the 9th Canadian Victory Loan. As you'd expect, many of the top U.S. radio programs had quite a following north of the border. I'm Greg Bell, and up next on Win Radio was our weekly visit with the adventures of Superman, as we introduce a new storyline, known as the Secret Rocket. It begins right after this break.